And good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be back.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a little ice last week. God is good, and he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, we made it to verse 10 last week. Let me pick up there. Okay. If I can find it, here we go.
It's right after John 14.
Yeah. I'll start at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We said last time that this is the road to learning, abiding in the love. Jesus abided in the Father's love, and he always was able to learn from him. Amen. See, James said, the brother of Jesus in chapter 3, he said that the word of God is sown in peace. And sometimes in order to help somebody, you have to create peace first. You can't just always give people information. But when you have, when they know you love them, their heart opens up and they can receive what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. You know, Thurston, you're talking about abiding. Mm-hmm. And before we can really have communion, we have to abide.
Abide, that's right.
Abide, and then we can really commune mm-hmm. with the Almighty when we abide.
Yeah. Back in 2006, the Lord, he alerted me to something that was happening. The church has always been under attack, and the enemy is always trying to find a loophole. And he said that sometimes pastors will get in strife, like they start a new ministry, and people don't always tithe. If they get in strife with the people because they don't tithe like they should, they can't teach them the same. Or if the people get in strife with him, they can't learn from him. And the church
is
it'll be on a stalemate. And but it could be anything.
But you are telling the truth about relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, before he tell you to put on the armor of mm-hmm. God, he talks about all these different relationships.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. even start off in the 5th chapter mm-hmm. at the end talking about the church relationship. The mm-hmm. husband and wife relationship, the church
yeah.
Relationship to Jesus. And then he gets on to talk about every other mm-hmm. kind of relationship from A to Z. Mm-hmm. Then he tells you, now be strong in the Lord. I said, now why did you put relationship in warfare? I mean, yeah. Come on now.
That's right.
You got relationship. You're talking about relationship. And then you automatically start talking about warfare. You know
if they're strong.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to. Because the enemy gets into relationship. Mm-hmm. You make people think something that you don't even think.
Amen.
In chapter 4, he goes on to something else. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God, then rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So relationship is before authority. If we don't walk in his love, authority won't work like it should. And, you know, people learn at their own pace. And the Holy Spirit is patient with us as he teaches all of us according to our pace. But the way to continue the process of learning is to live in his love, abide in his love. Mm-hmm. Just like, and Jesus gave him his example, just like I abide in my Father's love, you abide in my love, and you abide in the Father's love. And he can, even when it's hard to trust, it's hard to obey somebody you don't trust. But as you yield to mm-hmm. the Lord, you learn who he is, mm-hmm. and then it's easy to trust him.
Amen.
And there's been, for the last 3 decades, there's been a lot of teaching about faith, but we hadn't gotten the trust yet. Because, for a long time, I thought it was the same, but it's different. It's a different application of faith. So learning to trust God comes out of love. that you loving him, love his word. If you love him, you love his word. If as long as you're looking to him, then you can do the mighty works. Jesus, Peter walked on water as long as he was looking unto Christ. But when he saw the waves roar, he started to sink. He began to sink. Well, as long as we're looking to the Lord, the distractions of the world, we won't really see them. We'll see them for what they are instead of what the enemy intended us, you know, the way he intended us to see them. The, I love this part. I could stay on this for a while, but this is the road to revelation, to learning from it. I learned more from the Lord as I endeavored to walk in love. I didn't want to just say, okay, I agree with walking in love. I said, well, Lord, I want to do it, and I don't want to make mistakes about it. I want you to teach me how to do it. I want to be skilled at it. And that's when he started, he could relate things to me much easier. He said in verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It'll take time for your joy to be full, because as you heal in life, you go forward and your joy will increase. And when it's full, you gotten to a point where you can do the works he's given you to do. You're operating under the anointing. And it just gets greater and greater. And it'll always multiply as long as you live. Somebody asked me, what was heaven be like? I said, well, every day, first of all, it's beautiful. But from now on, it don't ever stop. You grow in love, you grow in wisdom, you grow in truth. And it's like Mary said when the angels were worshiping God. They were getting revelation, saying the same thing. Remember a few years back, they were worshiping God. Every time they got a revelation, they cried even more. That's how God is.
Amen.
Infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite revelation. And I wanted to know how people thought and why things were the way they were from a child. I believe the Lord put that in me to seek like that. And I use it now. I ask them all kind of questions. There's no questions I won't ask them. If I want to know what I ask. And you can learn things. And because he loves us, he teaches us at our pace. And Paul said that we're stewards of the mysteries of God.
Amen.
So in teaching other people, you have to teach them at the pace the Holy Spirit reveals for you to teach them.
Amen.
You're a steward of the mystery. Sometimes I want to tell everything, but sometimes if you say something too fast, it won't do the same thing. Before the Lord gave me revelation, he prepared me to receive it. And then, so if I try to relay it, I try to show people what he showed me first till he got to that point. But that's how his love, he works with us. So I said, well, I don't know how to minister to people what they need out of my own mind. I don't. So I watch him. Whatever comes up, that's what I give. And sometimes while I'm doing that, I learn something else. So about being patient with people, just like the analogy he gave about how some pastors would get in strife with the congregation, and it'll put them in a stalemate because you can't sow the word in strife. It's not the same. With that, if there's any strife in your heart, it's coming out. Whatever you got in your heart, it's going to come out. And it'll start a friction, and it takes time, but it'll happen. And they couldn't learn from them the same way. But to love, I learned to require nothing of people. If people don't do something that you want them to do, that's all right. Forgive them for it. Work with them where they can help, you know, where they're at. And eventually people would, just like the pastor's congregation, eventually they'll learn the blessings of tithing and catch on. And that's really the way the Lord would want it in the first place. He wants you to do it on purpose and faith. Mm-hmm. Not from being coerced, not out of fear, but in faith. Mm-hmm. So it is with everything. He wants us to follow him by faith. And when that's in place, and there's no, and there's peace in place, and love is active, you then everybody can learn. You know, that won't be, if they don't learn, that won't be the reason why. Maybe they didn't want to know something, or they were comfortable where they were at, but to flow with you, these are the kind of things I learned from the Holy Spirit as I asked him how to love people. Because people can be so contrary.
Jesus.
And this is another thing he taught me. Everybody's under attack. And every time when I got saved, I found out, I learned about the warfare real fast. Chris Lucas said, now that you're on God's side, Satan's going to try to get you back. He's going to try to make you mad. Anything that'll distract you, he's going to try to use it. Women will flirt. Anything will happen. So, and just like he said, it happened. But because I knew what to look for, I was able to laugh at it. And it didn't puzzle me like it would have, you know. So I learned then, giving people good information will help them in the future. So, and then when the Lord called me to preach, there it went again. It was like an elevated warfare against me. And so I said, well, other ministers go through this too, so I'm going to try to give people as much information as possible.
Amen.
Whatever he teach me, I'm going to share it.
There you go.
Quick.
There
so you they go. Can so they can stand. And I still seek to be that way now. Everybody's under attack. When you see it, when you look at it that way, they need you to love them. And when you can love people beyond their contrariness, it works. You can get them saved. It takes salvation, getting people saved, it takes wisdom, it takes patience, it takes love. It mostly takes love. If you love them, it becomes so much easier. The ability to forgive people when you know that they're against you, when you know that they're wrong, and when they know that they're wrong, love them anyway. And just like God loves us. He didn't die for a people that was ready for him. We were all running the other way. but he saved us, and it works. And people, when they appreciate it when they get saved. People don't know what they're throwing away when they don't get saved. Okay, we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 24. As we abide in him, there's so many things we're going to learn. We won't remain the same. We're going to grow.
11:24.
And communing with the Lord, that's beautiful to me. He said the best time to learn is when everything's going good. You're not distracted. And that's what communion is all about, relating to him. In chapter 24... I mean, chapter 11, verse 24, it said, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He paid the cost for our healing, and it motivates me to receive it and the fellowship that goes with it. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The healing power of Jesus. My sister has a friend, and she has cancer. And my sister's very sick now, but I believe she's healed. But they call each other and have devotion every morning, and they take communion. And sometimes Dee Dee would feel so bad, she said, no, we're going to take communion. And after she take communion, she feels so much better. And this is the healing power of God.
This is the meal that heals.
The meal that heals.
That's good. I like that. And he's got a book called Meal That Heals. Sure does.
Mm-hmm. And pray for Gail and Dee Dee. Gail is my sister, and Dee Dee is her best friend. And they have both prayed for people and got them healed. And now they need prayers now. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you're moving by your spirit. I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Help us to do all this in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.